Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter. The context was the children of Israel were taken to the border of the promised land and they refused to take it. We know that two, Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies said, "We can take it." Well, they would not take it. And the Lord was going to destroy them. And as we know, they died in the wilderness over a span of 40 years. But right when it happened, the heat of the battle, you might say, verse 15 is where we'll take up. Moses speaking, "Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in all in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and will by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers into the children upon the children into the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Let us pray. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for thy kindness and mercy to us, thy long-sufferingness toward us. We plead thy great mercy that endureth forever. We just ask that you keep us mindful of thy word, the return of our Redeemer. Keep us mindful of the promises of thy word and the commands. Guide us in our daily living, we pray. We pray for our loved ones and children and family members and those that are not in our midst. Our pastor and his family, keep your protective hands upon them. Guide us as a church in the way of truth. We pray for America that you'd have mercy upon it. Grant us leaders that would fear and honor thee, we pray. Cause them to make decisions that'd be honoring to thy word. We pray for the lost loved ones, that you'd be pleased to guide us in witnessing to them and give us the words to speak into them. Guide us now in worshiping thee in spirit and in truth. Help us to exalt the name of Christ above every name and honor thee in doing so. For it's in Christ's name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask, and amen. That verse 21, that as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, which is the title of today's message. It went on to say, verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Like other passages, that's not always been easy for me to understand what he was talking about there. God has his plans for a kingdom. He's had it all along. And it's the whole world will be filled with his glory. Now, Moses wanted, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." You mean the same glory that Moses could only see the hinder part of the Lord? That's the glory. The whole world shall be filled with it. Exodus 33:18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand in a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff to the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The whole world's going to be filled with it. We read there in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and the 5th verse. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now that's the same glory that Moses had to be hid. We're all going to see it. I mean, Moses was in the Lord's presence. He was shook up one time there in the book of Hebrews, I think it's like the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I do believe. He was shaking, shaking in his shoes. And he'd been in God's presence before. So terrible was that sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's a great glory. We can only imagine. Job, what did he write? Job chapter 19. He would see the Lord in his own eyes long after the body was dissolved. Though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. God has always planned on and will have a kingdom. His glory will be throughout the world, and his people will be holy. But man, we're to bring God's glory. That's everything about us, is to glorify our Lord and Savior. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our lot is to glorify God. That's what his plans are, and he will have it that way. Most people seek, however, their own glory. Politicians, a good example. The famous people of the world. They seek glory for self. And if you think about it, that little bird that you hear out there singing oftentimes brings God more glory than a huge orchestra. It's doing what God made it to do. God made us to glorify him. And man fell from that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. That's what he wants. We don't see that too often, because most people ain't about being meek and lowly. What did Paul say he witnessed there in what we say is the third heaven? heard things unspeakable, joy unspeakable, full of glory. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful or possible for a man to utter. Of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but for mine infirmities. He goes on to say, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He wanted to stay humble, just like what we read there in Peter. We have a saying in the machine shops, I'd rather be lucky than good, which there's no such thing as luck, but the Lord taking care of me is far better than me taking care of myself, is what I'm saying. That's for the Lord's glory. That's what we are to do. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Gloried in his infirmities. That's what we are to do. Consider the creation. Man cannot paint a picture equal to any part of it. And if you come up with something that's close, they make it out to be a masterpiece. And it's not as good as you have the original. Artwork is oftentimes the most censorious form of idolatry. A mountain, is there anything any more majestic? What about any more touching and meek as the smile of a little child? We read about the stars there in the book of Psalms, the 19th chapter. It's God's handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms 19 and 1. Man in himself has done little for glory. I mean, what has man done for the biggest part that's worthy of glory? The heroes of faith, it was their trials and their sufferings that made them great. However, we look at the politicians, the actors, the athletes, the statesmen. Nimrod tried the first go at one world government. He was out for himself at the expense of others. Said to have been a hunter of men. The only time we're doing anything of any worth is when we're obeying Christ, the law of Christ, and glorifying him. Because it's then that we love our neighbor. It's then that we do good unto others. It's always for God's glory. In the book of Robinson Crusoe, Friday asked Robinson Crusoe a question. If you say God good, devil bad, God stronger than devil, why not God kill devil, problem solved? Robinson Crusoe could not answer the question, ignored it. Why did God create the earth, the man, and allow man to fall into sin and to die spiritually? Without this, man would not know the power of God. He would not know that God is able to redeem man from his sins. If it was not for the cold winter man would not have the great appreciation for the beauty of spring, God sending his flowers and the warmth of the earth. God's glory is a blessing to others. Brings us to a point. What are we doing for God's glory? His glory is going to shine from pole to pole. What are we doing to bring that on? If you think about man's glory, I'll give you a good example. Alfred Nobel. Of course, that's whom the Nobel Peace Prize was instituted by. Made his money making things that blow things and people up. Gunpowder. Destruction. Dynamite. Writing out his last will. Some say he was writing out his obituary. Saw that all his life, all he had done was create things that destroy. Instruments of death, dedicated to destruction. He wanted to offset the works of his inventions of instruments of destruction by doing some good. Now, that's typical how man is. If my good outweighs my bad, but you cannot bring back those dead bodies that you helped destroy. Man cannot do that. Eradicating sin has been a long lesson. It's going on 6,000 years. Be much easier if we just simply obey God. 1 Corinthians. Will I say 1 Corinthians? I got in my notes 1 Corinthians 6:20. I think it's not right. Yeah, that's right. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. Now, I've used this illustration before. You buy a vehicle that doesn't do anything that you want to do, you're not going to keep it very long. Or any other kind of machine. We want them to do what we got them to do. Look at man. Does man put forth what God has commanded he should? Praise God with our lips. Glorify God in our mortal bodies. What is we to do now? Isaiah chapter 35. I'll read the entire chapter. It's not very big. Isaiah 35, the wilderness, verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of God. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. That's what we're looking for now. Right now, things are getting worse on earth, and this is the only thing that's going to fix it. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Ain't happened like that before. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams of the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty and the dry land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Without holiness, we read in the book of Hebrews, no man shall see God. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's a great promise. But presently, we're to take up our cross. That's how we're to glorify God. Why is the cross and infirmities glorious? When God returns in His glory, those things won't be seen. There's glory, there's halls of fame, there's museums, there's various museums that display famous relics. The Smithsonian shows documents, clothes worn by famous people, speeches written to broadcast to the country. Hall of Fame shows famous uniforms, balls, bats, and etc. that showed somebody could throw a ball a little faster, a little harder, or something of that nature. Civil War museums hold cannons, guns, and uniforms. The planes that dropped the bomb that ended World War II. But in every one of those cases, there was a loser. Somebody died when the bombs was dropped. Somebody was a loser when the athlete won. All these relics brought someone glory, but also someone was brought shame, sending them into a Christless eternity. The Trade Towers, 9/11. Well, we're told in the book of Job, the 15th chapter, the 34th verse, the tabernacles of bribery shall be burned with fire. Much has been said of Hitler, Napoleon, and Alexander the Great. They left a lot of dead bodies in their wake. The book of Psalms, 102nd, foretold long ago, verse 15 and 16. Psalms 102:15. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. Israel was to do that and wouldn't. What happened to them? I don't have to tell you. You figured it out. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he looked down from the heights of the sanctuary, and from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. And again, to show that God's glory is a blessing to others, he will regard the prayer of the destitute. This passage sounds quite a bit like what we read in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's a promise. Consider one point from Matthew 17, when Christ took Peter, James, and John up to an exceeding high mountain and showed his glory. It's in Matthew 17, verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee here thee tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Feast of Tabernacles is about this time of year. It's really getting close. God would tabernacle with man. Verse 2 tells us, and he was transformed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. That's glory. I ain't ever seen anything like that, but we've already been told and promised that we will see it. Till then, we're to glorify him. Taking up our cross. The cross gets rid of the bad stuff. It compels us to leave the bad stuff. It makes us to be like him. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and out of the world. How much does the world, how much is it to mean to us? Not much. We're basically to be dead to the world. We have to live in it, but we're not of it. We will behold God's glory and we will be made like him. Not only will the world be filled with God's glory, it's going to be filled with his righteousness, with his wisdom. In the book of Habakkuk, that's one of them hard ones to find. It's nestled among the minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, it's been a big problem not having the knowledge of God. Adam didn't have to go to school. He was given that. Name the animals. How many times have we made some mistake that had we had some knowledge about a particular thing, it wouldn't have been no problem. Then there's also the other side. Sin leaves its mark. It always does. Also in the minor prophets, we read in the book of Micah. Micah, it's a few pages back from the book of Habakkuk, but Micah chapter 1, verse 5. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? Samaria is what it is because the Jews' disobedience, marrying outside of their race. They made them mongrel Jews, is what they called them back in that day and age. They were put away from the priesthood unless they had lineage. They were kicked out. And that's why you have Samaria. You also have one named Ahab and his wife Jezebel. They were Samaritans. Once again, a gift that does that keeps on giving, I guess you might say. Samaria was the cast-offs, the mongrel Jews, children of a mixed race, first mentioned in 1 Kings. They are a product of the divided nation of Israel. That's the glory of sin. It leaves a mark. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria that prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Once again, the gift that keeps on giving. Something starts off course, it's going to stay off course. Order does not come from disorder. I have seen also of the prophets in Jerusalem and horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies and strengthen the hands of the evildoers, and none doth return from his wickedness. They won't repent. They are all of them to me as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. That's where it ends. Obey God's word. Keep his commandment. This is our whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Though the Samaritans claim that they worship correctly, there's a good example of their worship. Christ addressed it, made it plain there in John chapter 4. Told the woman at Jacob's well, you don't know what you're doing. Ye worship, you know not what. We know that what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. On you go. In those days, we know from the Gospel of Luke, I believe it's the 10th chapter, the Good Samaritan. Now, as you will recall, the Good Samaritan, the priest went by the man that was wounded and left half dead. What they did, they would walk around Samaria rather than go through it. What's the point in that? They didn't want to be reminded of their sin, old sinful self, and their old problems that they created. What is our glory and what is our shame? What are we all about? What in our lives is telling of virtue or sin? Tattoos, they speak volumes sometimes. Our speech, we all known people that will tell you they're Christian, but their speech would lead you to believe otherwise. Paul's glory was his infirmities, his afflictions, because Christ was seen and not him. What is our testimony? What it all boils down to. We read in the book of 2 Peter about Lot, who was vexed in the Sodom and Gomorrah. He was tortured by it. That's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. That righteous man's soul was vexed. Are we not so calloused in today's world that we don't let it bother us like we should? Little children cry out at the death of a little bird. That's a child's nature. Christ taught in the book of, I just read it this morning in the Gospel of Mark, concerning little children, we must become one. Somewhere in the Gospel of Mark, we must become as a little child. And I guess you've heard it before that Christ was revolutionary. We teach children to become adults. And with Christ, he taught adults to become as little children. Anyway, that passage eludes me now. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51. Luke 9, 51. it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. That's the Samaritans. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Are we interested in the salvation of others? We've already read Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Is our glory in the cross? Christ's high priestly prayer, none would be lost. None will be lost. In closing, in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, we'll look a little bit at Isaiah anyway. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. He doesn't have to save us from our sins. And it says as he will not remember thy sins. And will not remember thy sins. In one place he says he puts them behind his back. More reason for not look back. God doesn't look back. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and given to Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. But all these things are to bring man to repentance. Verse 18, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me. As said, the little bird does more to give God glory than an orchestra sometimes. I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert and give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's what we're here for God's glory. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember, and will no more remember thy sins. Not one shall be lost save the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. So, in closing, we see it's for God's own glory. We're here to bring God glory.